And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Well, we're out of our bunkers, quarantined because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, they let us out.
Here we are.
For a couple hours to do the show.
Yeah. And I know we had the debate whether we should allow a studio audience today.
You don't want to put anybody at risk.
But then we saw our fans standing outside the studio. So we let them in. And I just want to say thank you, studio audience, for being here. Give yourself a round of applause. Thank you, studio audience. We're not going to let this virus stop us from our regular...
Not going to stop the Yacht Club.
Regular routine.
Yeah, I almost missed it today. I drove all the way down to Toledo looking for toilet paper and almost didn't get back on time.
That's my biggest fear, being out of... I called Carol. I said, hey, could you pick up some toilet paper?
Yeah.
And some bottled water.
She did. She stopped by... She stopped by Walgreens and picked up a couple packs of toilet paper. So we're good. We're good for until the end of March.
Why didn't she ask you to come back with blonde hair, too, while you're at it?
So we're survivors. We're not going to let this change our routine.
We're going to be brave.
Yep.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
So we think two retired guys and only one of us working in a high-level management position. That would be
thank you,
to get
Dave.
Together more than...
Thanks for the promotion.
That's all right. You run for it, don't you? Yeah. I think we'd be able to gather more than once every...
Quarter? Once a quarter?
6 weeks or whatever, but there's always something that comes up.
There's a lot going on, man. I think the world has certainly changed since the last time
all kidding aside,
it's unbelievable.
It is crazy.
This is unprecedented, right? We're kind of like feeling our way in the dark with this stuff. We don't know what's going to happen next, but everyone seems to be panicking. And I know we weren't going to spend the show talking about the coronavirus, but it is crazy.
Well,
it's crazy.
I think the panic, it's not only the virus, but what happens to the economy.
And, right.
Nobody's flying. Canceled the South by Southwest.
Chicago, St. Patrick's Day is huge. They're not going to dye the river green, and they canceled the parade.
Right.
And that's got to be a lot of money that comes into Chicago.
Right.
So, people fly in for that kind of stuff. So, the economy is going to suffer.
And convention. Chicago's a big convention town. There's pretty much no end in sight as far as how long this is going to be.
No. Yeah, you can't. Say, okay, in 2 months or whatever, you can't really see an end date at this point.
Yeah.
I'm hearing we'll reevaluate the end of March. I'm hearing we'll reevaluate these institutions, reevaluate April 20th, so.
Well, I hear Michigan State is online classes until.
Yeah, I think Michigan too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Michigan, they all are. Till
they all are, yeah.
End of this semester.
End of April.
All right, so they're canceling all these classes. They're going to have everything online. What if they find out they don't need colleges? They
don't need teachers anymore?
Well, they're teachers. They do everything online now. Okay, they have, with AI, that they just have some computer.
Did they ever consider that?
I don't know. What
students will learn they can live without the classroom.
What happens? Everybody working from home. Yeah, we don't need offices anymore.
What happens if we discover we don't need live sports? And when they say they're going to reevaluate it at the end of each month, what new news is going to make them do what?
Good question.
I was just saying this to Dave. I can't imagine that this is not going to be just 10 million people got the virus.
Yeah, it's Brave New World. The virus may or may not be serious. We can debate that, but. It's going to bring changes,
right?
No matter what happens,
and people will be more isolated. You're going to find out you need less social.
Yeah, we don't need people.
Yeah, exact situations. Yes. I can work from home now. I can take my classes from home. I never have to see another human being.
I just stay in my basement all the day
eating Cheetos.
There you go.
What do you think of that, studio audience? Hey, we picked up somebody. We got two people now.
Two in the audience.
Hey, you guys remember that my daughter Colleen is an aspiring comedian in the city of Chicago. I got a clip from one of her latest stand-ups.
Oh.
Want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right.
Start. Thank you for coming, everyone. You know, I want to start off light, so let's talk therapy. Yeah. I love therapy. I recently actually told my therapist that my sessions with her were the highlight of my week. She reacted with concern. But no, I'm 26 now. I go to therapy weekly. I'm obsessed with it, clearly. Now, I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. But I have a prime slot. Noon weekday therapy slot. You know, so I get to sneak out at lunch. None of the coworkers know I'm going to cry. It's really great. But the thing is, I have to go weekly to keep my prime slot, you know, which is fantastic on the weeks that I hate myself. Let's not sugarcoat it. But I'm trying to figure out what to do on the weeks that I'm thriving. You know, I find myself sitting on a couch, smiling, and then I have a $40 copay. That's chill. I find myself in this situation a lot. Hi. Yeah, I think I'm going to cancel this session today. I'm just feeling really balanced. Oh, $100 cancellation fee? Okay, some shit will go down before noon.
What'd you guys think of that? Pretty good?
Yeah, it was good.
That was great.
Kyle, that was good.
Yeah, and guess who's on the line? Colleen Kelly herself.
Yeah,
all right. It's me. Wow. Insert applause.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a studio audience.
Thank you so much.
That's Larry the drummer.
But yeah, I mean, wow, that you just sounded so relaxed in that clip. I heard the whole thing, but
it was interesting because I followed right after my teacher, who's like this crazy talented comic, and so I was actually first of all the people to go in my class. So when she called my name, I definitely got nervous. But then when I got up there, I felt pretty at home. It was a really great experience. Like, I saw Sister Megan in the audience, and she has a very distinct laugh. So
I hear it on the tape. Yeah. I hear it a couple times on the clip.
Yeah, like the loud. And so when I hear her, when I hear someone I know in the audience laugh, then I'm good to go.
Yeah.
If I hear a laugh that I know, I can do anything. It was cool to have her there and my friends there supporting me, so that helped a lot. But, I mean, it was a very supportive crowd. It was the grad show of a class that ran about 6 weeks with some really great female performers and a great teacher. And so it just felt like a really welcoming show to get you kind of started, to get out there and start going to mics.
Was that your first stand-up gig, that audio I presented?
Yeah, first time ever even standing up with a real mic.
That's unbelievable.
Wow, that was so natural.
Thank you.
Oh, that just sounded like you'd done it forever.
Thank you. It felt really good, and I moved to Chicago. It's almost been 3 years now that I've been in Chicago, and I kind of started with improv first because improv, you're up there with people, and it's definitely, it feels a lot safer. So if you bomb, you're bombing with other people, and there's definitely a safety in that, and it feels fine. But like my teacher, I related to this. She's like, I only enjoyed it. My stand-up teacher said, she only enjoyed improv when she was getting laughs. I feel that way kind of as well. And I said, I love getting laughs as a character, but there's no better feeling to me than getting laughs as Colleen. And so that's why stand-up is what I ultimately knew was going to be my thing.
Wow.
So it was this class and doing that show was just a great start to what I hope is like a long time of doing stand-up.
You've already done an open mic where I don't want to say you bombed, but where it didn't go as well, right? So you've already kind of got out of your system, right?
The thing you learn about open mics is you're performing with a lot of other comics. So you're performing for other comics. It's not like every mic you go to is filled with just people wanting to see a comedy show. It's very much you're performing for the other people performing. So that's like definitely a shock to the system after performing for like friends and family and people. And it's, I mean, it's just like you got to have a crowd to get those laughs you really want. But it's just important to keep doing those mics because it's how you meet people. It's how you network. And apparently you develop, and I'm anticipating this to happen hopefully within the next year, but you just develop more of a sense of, even if the room's not packed, whether your joke landed or not, whether it worked or not, you know? So, I mean, it's just, it's really important to network and meet other comics, and you do it through mics, and they're not always fun. I have a friend who's going through, she's been doing stand-up for about a year now. I met her through improv, and she said, you know, Colleen, it's going to take you a while to feel comfortable with the feeling you get after an open mic, because it's definitely not people telling you how great you are. I can tell you that.
Colleen, you did what, 5 minutes at the, okay. So how
long, yeah, that was 5 minutes.
How long have you been working on that?
So we narrowed down our topic, I'd say in week two of class. So I was kind of workshopping that set for maybe 3 weeks. My favorite jokes, though, you kind of learn about your process through taking a class. So my favorite jokes were actually ones that I either improvised up there on stage or wrote that day. And then I did an open mic. It was my second open mic. It was another all-female mic. And I did that, and I kind of just improvised. I had a very rough outline, so I did the therapy stuff for the first half of the five. And then for the last 2 minutes and change, I kind of had a really rough outline for what I wanted to talk about. And that's what people said to me. They said, Colleen, that's what hit the hardest, was the stuff you just kind of went up there and improvised.
Wow.
So I'm finding that I actually do better and feel better about my performance when I have a rough outline, and I'm able to just kind of see where that goes. So that's where mics are going to come in handy. I can already tell I'm someone that doesn't like doing the same material that much. I want to keep writing and doing fresh stuff because that's what's going to keep me energized and excited. So that was the segment you heard and what you saw, that was pretty rehearsed, but moving forward, it's going to be more off the cuff and, you know, trying to like set some time aside each week to really write and create new material. And then from there, the goal is to build like a strong, I'd say like 8 to 10 minute set that kind of brings in multiple topics, not just one topic, so, and just kind of like take the strongest stuff and put it in a set.
All right. So then in that 8 to 10 minute set, would there still be some improv stuff in that then too?
Yeah, I mean, I like feeding off the audience. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, if one joke is getting a huge laugh, maybe it's expanding on that a little more and just having some fun with it. So I think I'm always going to be a comic who likes to leave in some wiggle room there. So if the audience is really digging something, I want to be able to create some more material on the fly. But also, you know, you want to strike while the iron's hot and take advantage of when the audience is really feeling something, but then not overextend that. So just knowing when to then move on, that's another art form. That's another thing about the art form, is when to move on to a new topic. Yeah, so like taking a sip of water even is a way to like, even if you're not thirsty, take a sip of water. That's kind of your natural transition. You can move into something else. It's kind of like a palate cleanser.
Huh.
So when you say you'll improv, it's more, you're not sticking to a script. You kind of, you have a backlog in your brain of one-liners and jokes. It's just kind of pulling from that and embellishing them or whatever a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so far what I've learned about my writing process is I don't love writing out a joke on my own and then rehearsing how it said word for word. I'd rather kind of see how I feel in the moment. And like one of my favorite jokes was something I completely just made up. Megan came to my other open mic. I know she's not going to come to all of them, but I'm really enjoying when she is, you know, not sick of it yet. And she came and she asked me if my pants were buttoned before I went up on stage, like a mom. She's like, make sure your pants are buttoned. And so I referenced that on stage, and people just loved it. I kind of like joked about our dynamic a little bit. I said, you know, before I even got up here, my sister wanted to make sure my pants were buttoned, and people just loved that. And I like kind of pointed to her in the audience, and it's like, I didn't plan. That wasn't a joke I could even write, but sometimes the funniest things to me are just things that happen organically and on the fly. So I want to always be able to access those moments and joke about them in real time.
You've always had a talent ever since you were very little of finding the humor in things. It's always there. It's around us, but some people are more tuned into it and just kind of bring it out and point it out to other people just how funny people are and how life is, I think.
Hey, Megan, I got
to. I mean, Megan. Some may say I'm a little overly critical of situations, but I definitely view things with a microscope. And from there, I'm able to make some funny observations, hopefully. And I just like laughing about the world around me and always writing about what makes me laugh, because I feel like that's how I'm going to be successful, is writing to make myself laugh and then hopefully other people laugh as well.
Colleen, I got a question for you. This always kind of fascinates me about comics. It seems to be that the comic is a character. They visualize themselves as a character. So you couldn't, so you wouldn't see, say, Seinfeld telling Drew Carey jokes, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a certain style. Is that something you consciously think about?
Well, it's interesting because when I was watching my set over that you just heard the clip from, that set.
Yep.
I noticed I was kind of almost putting on a character
right.
in that.
Right.
That's not necessarily my natural inflection.
Right.
And that might have been more nerves than anything. But I've been doing improv where you're only a character. You're never yourself. So
right.
That's actually something I didn't respond to when I watched my video back.
Right.
I think it's really important that I maintain my voice, and I just want to come across as Colleen. I don't want it to kind of seem like a character. So that was actually the one thing I pulled out, is I have kind of like, you know, you have your jokes that you gravitate toward.
Right.
I do lean towards self-deprecation a little bit, but I never want it to be in a way where I want the audience to think that I'm, you know, feeling sorry for myself or anything, because that's definitely not the case.
Yeah.
So like I definitely am going to continue to develop a style of voice and what jokes I gravitate toward, and those will probably be very consistent. But I noticed that I was kind of channeling a character, and that's I didn't relate to it at all. So it's interesting that you asked that, because that was a critique I had for myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd say I'm someone that wants to stay very true to who I am. And if I observe that I'm kind of straying from that, I view that as being a little off course.
There's the false character that you don't want to be part of, but you do want to identify the true character that you think you are. And then when you're writing material, you know, sometimes I think you tend to, you don't intend to do anything, but I think people tend to think of something that they think people would want to hear.
Yeah.
But you delivering it isn't going to work, kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's interesting, too, because I haven't been to as many stand-up shows as I'd like to admit, but you can tell when someone's kind of... I'm someone that I've always been this way. In order to find something funny, it has to ring true to me.
Right.
I never want to be putting out material that I can't relate to, because it's not going to come off as authentic to an audience. I think you have to give the audience enough credit that they can know when you're just kind of, okay, this is an objectively funny topic versus this is something I feel strongly about, or this is something I want to joke about. For me, that's the only way I'm going to enjoy doing this. And it's interesting, another thing my teacher said that really stuck out to me was, if she's out there at a show and she's in the audience and she sees someone doing a set very similar to hers, her first reaction is never anger, like, oh, they stole my set. Her reaction is, I'm not being original enough. So one of my big goals is to be original and hone my unique voice and my unique perspective, because I do believe I have a lot of things to talk about that I don't see other comics talking about. And to me, that's where I get the most enjoyment out of this. There's an idea called like the third idea. So my teacher used Fargo as an example. You know, you never want to go for the most obvious thought. So the movie Fargo, the main character, okay, you think sheriff, male sheriff. Second idea, let's make it a female sheriff. Third idea, let's make it a pregnant female sheriff. So you're constantly digging deeper and not just posting by on what's expected and what other people are doing. I mean, I've already been to a few mics and I've seen comics make the same joke. And I just don't want to be seen. I don't want that to ever happen to me, because not only do I want to stay true to myself, but like I said, I can only, for me to enjoy this, I have to be joking about things that I genuinely believe are funny and not just kind of catering to the audience and what I think they're going to find funny.
Yep, that's interesting.
Yeah. Colleen, thanks. This is
very, very enjoyable. Very
enjoyable
good.
And educational.
It's very interesting.
And,
well, thanks. You know, I have a lot of work to do, so I hope that I'll be able to call in with more updates. But with the coronavirus, I'll be honest. One of the biggest mics in the city just got canceled for a few weeks.
Wow.
Let's just say this. I'll have some time to get some more writing done and continue to work on those third ideas and be original.
Yeah.
So.
And you and Megan stock up on toilet paper, okay?
Oh, yeah. We'll have an Instacart with Costco before the
hey, Costco in Livonia, I think, sold out of toilet paper today. I think that's what
Well, next time you call, maybe you can have you can try a little routine on us. You know, test some of your new stuff on us.
Isn't that?
Well, I'll give you a little preview of what I'm working on.
There you
so,
go. Yeah.
You know, I think Megan and I living together has some very funny moments. You know, living with a relative, you can kind of dig deeper with them in fights because, you know, they're not going to cut you off. So there's quite a lot of material there. We're interesting gals, for better or for worse. So,
well, how about your dad? You got anything on Killer? You got to be something.
Let me think. It's not a matter of if he's going to land in my set. It's a matter of when.
Told her she has free reign over any, but there's a lot of material there.
You get Killer as you get Mike Kelly as a dad. You're not going to just ignore that in your set, you know?
It's that low-hanging fruit.
That's the low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit, cater to the audience a little bit. No, he's going to be in the set. It's just a matter of when. But when he is, I'll send him a text.
And when he's out of the country.
he's going to leave the country, but I think you might be hearing some jokes with him as the center of the joke.
That's what we'll look forward to.
But another thing my teacher said, she goes, you can't be making jokes at people's expense. It's not their story to tell. It's your story to tell. So it'll be my experience.
Yeah, but you can make them at my expense. I've got thick skin when it comes to your comedy.
Your dad will be laughing with you.
That's right.
He'll be laughing with me, and he'll laugh, and he'll be like, okay, Colleen, I get that.
There you go.
All right, Kyle.
More to come.
Thank you.
Love you. Talk
Thanks
to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What's on your mind, guys?
Well, it looks like we've got our presidential contenders.
We end up with two old white guys?
Yeah.
Really, really old white guys.
So we're all agree that Bernie's out.
He's toast.
I'm telling you.
Socialism.
Stick a fork in him.
He's done. It's not even that Biden beat him, I don't think. It was just, he ain't Bernie. Nobody could ever say one thing that you heard from Biden that won you over. He was a no-show at all the debate.
But what you're saying is that Bernie was such a knucklehead that they needed somebody sane, and Biden was the last sane one standing.
Well, because he won South Carolina, and Buttigieg and Warren and Klobuchar were all gliding down as they were going into the southern states.
He won by default, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he was like, well, I tell you what's kind of I'm impressed by, though, is that the Democrat establishment really kind of
pulled it together.
And reasserted themselves and got everybody else, choreographed the whole thing beautifully.
Some phone calls made to Mayor Pete and Amy.
Yeah, Amy, and Liz stuck in.
She had to think about it for a while.
I think she stuck in there just to, you know, offset Bernie a little bit. Like, I think Bernie may have won Massachusetts if Warren wasn't in there. So Biden won, Bernie came in second, and Warren was third. So if Warren dropped out, when the other two dropped out, Bernie, he would have maybe won Massachusetts and, you know, maybe more in California.
Yeah.
So anyway, they decided that they didn't want a socialist in there. The Democrats didn't want a socialist. So,
they wised up, yeah.
So but Biden got it by...
By not being a socialist.
By not being everybody else.
Right. Well, he got it. Well, I'm not even willing to say the Democrats didn't want a socialist. I don't know if they would have been all that concerned about it, except that they didn't think he could win against Trump.
That's true. You're right. So now we're down to, for the Democrats, we still have Bernie still in it as we're talking right now, and he's going to stay in it for the debate anyway on Sunday.
He's still toast.
Okay, see, I agree with you, but why is he staying in it?
It's a Hail Mary. Bloomberg killed himself in the debate.
No, Liz did.
Yeah. Well, whatever. He didn't. He couldn't.
He didn't help himself.
He didn't do much to advance his cause to show why he should even be on the stage.
Sure.
But I think he's figuring maybe if he can make Joe bumble and fumble, that people will lose confidence in him and say, if Bernie can befuddle them, what's Trump going to do to him?
Bernie's not going to have any impact on him at this debate.
At this point, other than making him. Again, maybe your point, he might, Joe, you said this, do you still mean it? And Joe will say, well, no, Bernie.
I don't have to mean it.
No, I don't. I have, what is it? What do they call that?
We got a team studying that. Right?
What do they call that? My views have grown, or when they've suddenly become
evolved?
Evolved. My views on that have evolved.
Yeah.
Based with the more I considered and the more I learned or knew about.
Okay.
And in talking with healthcare professionals and the people who are on the front lines dealing with people, this is what we need. Okay, in Bernie's mind, so Bernie knows he's out. So in his mind, you know, he thinks what he'll do is influence. He thinks he can force, or if he's able to pull something out of Biden toward the left, his job is done.
Or he can get Joe to commit a gaffe.
It has to be pretty serious, right?
Well, it could be, but...
But that's it. The debate.
The debate. That, and Joe could do it.
Yeah.
Joe could do
it. He has a potential.
Yeah.
Well, he's up there, but he's got advisors now saying...
Don't say anything.
Don't say anything. Just get up there and say, God bless America, and I think this is the greatest country in the world. The Constitution's the greatest document ever written, and the greatest presidents of the United States have been Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Barack Obama. But Joe, what is your Medicare plan? Your plan for improving the medical condition? I just told you.
What was it? Obama?
Obama. Obama, Democrat or
something like that.
Well, so come probably next week, we've just got Trump and... Biden to worry about.
Yeah, I think the Democrats would actually probably like to see Bernie stay in it, because after this, there's nothing to talk about. I mean, all of a sudden, there's no politics until the conventions.
Oh, they're going to find something on Trump.
I know, but I mean,
they're going to be blaming him for coronavirus.
Well, that's what I mean. It's going to be
4 or 5 months.
They've got to work at generating news. Then, as long as Bernie's in the debate, you know, every
you know what.
CNN and MSNBC will be talking about.
You're right.
The Democrats.
If Bernie gets out, what we'll have is.
So who's going to be the vice president? Will be the next.
A woman.
Wow.
Stacey Abrams. Is that what I've heard?
No. Stacey Abrams might be Buttigieg, but No, it's Kamala Harris. Why do you? That's why she threw in with Biden.
Well, I agree that she's looking for that. I don't know if she. I don't know if nationally she can.
She brings you plus.
She's a woman of color. That's what.
Yeah, but he's already got the black vote. Biden's got the black vote. Biden will get the women's vote. The women who are going to vote for a Democrat anyway,
right,
or
right.
even maybe some of the suburban Republican women. Adding Kamala is not going to draw more of them over.
Right. I would agree. I think maybe Amy Klobuchar.
I think you got to look at who could be a solid president, right? Who's presidential,
well,
right? Because you got to believe
that's
succession
be a,
plan. He may not want to run for if he gets elected.
Well, any one of them, as far as the Democrats are concerned, would be. That'd be great if they could get a black woman president after Biden goes down, or Amy Klobuchar. The question is, how's he pick up some white male vote, blue collar white male vote? And I'm not sure who's a Democrat that could. They're not going to pick.
But don't you?
It's a white guy.
But it's important who he picks, because that's how he's going to pick up Michigan and some of these other places. And like Mike said, people are going to be worried about him. Finishing the 4 years,
right.
You know, when he gets up there in a debate with Trump, there's going to be a gaffe of some
right.
Well, both sometimes. Sides probably.
Oh, but
they'll probably
Trump.
Equal each other.
But Trump,
out.
They won't know.
Trump,
it's Trump.
It's just
that's
Trump being
point.
Trump.
That's a good point.
What qualifies as a gaffe from Trump?
Yeah, that's true. What does?
I'm serious.
That's a good point. He's gaffe proof.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a gaffe machine.
Yeah.
And as a result,
yeah.
If he doesn't make a gaffe, that makes the news.
Exactly.
What does the future look like?
Right.
This person has to be somebody who represents the future. That's
right.
Why I think it'll be Kamala in
okay.
my mind.
All right.
You know, you may be right. She makes as much sense
as anyone.
I
got to
write this down because you know, once Joe makes his pick, if Jim's right, I want to say
Jim was.
You
Jim
heard
was
it
right.
here first
yeah.
on this show, on this broadcast, on this date.
Wow,
Joe will probably be
burden.
Calling Jim. Just, hey.
Jim, who do you think I should? Who should I go with? So
wait.
I got another question for you: Is you think Trump will stick with Pence?
I don't know.
God, the guy's just been a perfect soldier, hasn't he? Then
he has, but this
and, what's your point?
Well, I mean, I always heard that best vice presidents are guys that just. Kind of blended in and there to meet a diplomat or whatever and just kind of be yes men. I mean, he's a prototypical yes man vice president. He's done his job.
Yeah,
he's
but now
he's,
now
he's
he
hired
gets,
to do.
Yeah, I think he's done, vice president does.
He's done his job.
He's
but
done his job.
He might think he needs to kick it up a notch
well,
if he's.
Well, yeah, Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley would be.
Okay.
That would be.
I hope it's Pence,
huh?
unless Pence doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that'd be a brilliant move.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now he starts. Now he starts making a move on those suburban women.
With Haley.
With Haley.
Yeah, yeah, and that sets the 2024. That sets
for Haley
up for that.
Yeah, and Haley is, you know, when you talk about somebody who's going to have the image of being able to step right in.
She sure kicked
she
ass.
Is.
What was it? UN or United?
Yeah, UN. Yeah. She's a governor in North Carolina,
right.
And she's got sharp elbows.
Yeah,
and
she does. Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting 8 months, whatever, in the conversation.
All right.
Good?
I think we're good.
All right.
Rev D.
Yeah.
Would you happen to have a St. Patrick's Day blessing for us?
Oh, boy, I do. I do. I just happen to. May the love and laughter light your days. I do, killer. May love and laughter light your days and warm your heart and home. May good and faithful friends be yours wherever you may roam. May peace and plenty bless your world with joy that long endures. May all life's passing seasons bring the best to you and yours.
I love it.
Very nice.
The Irish, they know how to do a blessing,
they
don't
do.
They?
They know how to sling it, let's put it that way.
And speaking of slinging Irishmen, Dr. Jim?
Sláinte.
Aaron, go bra.
No, you can't say bra.
If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.